Welcome to day 141 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and we're broadcasting from the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro here in Tanzania, East Africa. So we're happy to be sharing with you again today. Today we will be reading from the New American Standard Bible, and we'll read from that translation all of this week. We are coming to toward the end of the book of 2 Samuel, where we have been hearing of the life and exploits of David as he became king and went through the time of his reign. And so this has been a fascinating study for us. We just have a few more days left in it, and today we will read 2 Samuel chapters 22 and 23, and then also Psalm 57. And these record some of the words of David as he's looking back over his life, remembering how God delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and especially from the hand of King Saul when he was being chased by Saul. So those are the sentiments you'll hear in today's readings, though it's a looking back historically for David because it's coming toward the end of his life. So beginning at 2 Samuel chapter 22 in the New American Standard Bible, starting at verse 1. And David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of heaven were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils. Fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed down the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. And he rode on a cherub and flew, and he appeared on the wings of the wind. And he made darkness canopies around him, a mass of waters, thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare by the rebuke of the Lord. At the blast of his nostrils, he sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not acted wickedly against my God. For all his ordinances were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless toward him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness before his eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind, with the blameless you show yourself blameless, with the pure you show yourself pure, and with the perverted you show yourself astute. And you save an afflicted people, but your eyes are on the haughty whom you abase. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. For by you I can run through a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for my God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your help makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. And I have devoured them and scattered them so that they did not rise, and they fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed and stamped them as the mire of the streets. You have also delivered me from the contentions of my people. You have kept me as head of the nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. Foreigners pretend obedience to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives. And blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and brings down peoples under me, who also brings me out from my enemies. You even lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. He is a tower of deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Chapter 23, verse 1. Now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, declares, the man who was raised on high declares, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is as the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, when the tender grass springs out of the earth, through sunshine after rain. Truly is not my house so with God? For he has made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things, and secured for all my salvation and all my desire. Will he not indeed make it grow? But the worthless, every one of them, will be thrust away like thorns, because they cannot be taken in hand. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they will be completely burned with fire in their place. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheb, Bas-Hebeth, a Tachmonite, chief of the captains. He was called Adino the Esnite because of 800 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there to battle, and the men of Israel had withdrawn. He arose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him, only to strip the slain. Now after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, a Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot, defended it, and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Then 3 of the 30 chief men went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam, while the troop of the Philistines was camping in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. David had a craving and said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the 30. And he swung his spear against 300 and killed them, and had a name as well as the 3. He was most honored of the 30, therefore he became their commander. However, he did not attain to the 3. Then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done mighty deeds, killed the 2 sons of Ariel of Moab. He also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, an impressive man. Now the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a club and snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did, and had a name as well as the 3 mighty men. He was honored among the 30, but he did not attain to the 3, and David appointed him over his guard. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was among the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shammah the Haradite, Elika the Harodite, Helez the Palatite, Ira the son of Ikesh the Tekoite, and Abiezer the Anathothite, Mambunai the Hushathite, Zalman the Ahohite, Maharai the Netophathite, Heleb the son of Bana the Netophathite, Ittai the son of Ribai of Gibeah of the sons of Benjamin, Benaiah a Pirathonite, Hiddai of the brooks of Gaash, Abba-Alaban the Arbathite, Asmaveth the Barhumite, Eliaba the Shalobonite, the sons of Jeshan, Jonathan, Shammah the Hararite, Ahiam, the son of Sharar, the Ararite, Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbai, the son of a Maacathite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite, Hezro, the Carmelite, Parai, the Arbite, Egal, the son of Nathan, of Zobah, Bani, the Gadite, Zelek, the Ammonite, Naharai, the Berethite, armor-bearers of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, Ira, the Ithrite, Garab, the Ithrite, Uriah, the Hittite, 37 in all. Psalm 57. Prayer for rescue from persecutors, for the choir director, set to Altash-Heth, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. Selah. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. For they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to address the theme that's brought up here in today's readings. And that is the theme that God is our refuge and our deliverer. In 2 Samuel chapters 22 and 23, which we read today, we see the author, the one who penned the words of these last chapters, in these last few chapters in 2 Samuel, we see that he included in these chapters partial psalms that were written by David. And we will find these same words that are penned here in 2 Samuel 22, again repeated in several psalms that we'll read through. But the author here, the one penning these particular chapters about David, brings out the fact that David clearly saw God as his deliverer, as his rescuer, as his place of refuge when he was in the midst of trouble. We see that 2 Samuel 22 starts out saying that David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So the writer gives us the context of when David actually wrote the following words. And David wrote, "The Lord is my rock and my refuge and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who's worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God. And from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears. Now, David here is sharing a very true reality of his life. He had been confronted by serious difficulty, calamity, emergency. You can give it any name you like, danger, violence, because he's describing the time when Saul, in his madness, was chasing down David to kill him, though he had not in any way betrayed him. But his depth of jealousy for David's favor and anointing on his life drove him almost mad with envy, and he wanted to crush him so that he did not take the kingdom from Saul, which of course David had no intention to do, but he was literally demonically inspired to chase after David. So here is David in a time of absolute crisis, absolute pain. He's in physical discomfort. He's in mental anguish and distress. He's being falsely accused. Pressures on every side, literally just to survive. He's hiding in caves and rocks. He's away from his family, so he's under emotional duress. He's being falsely accused by somebody he served faithfully, so he has that emotional pressure and feeling of betrayal going on. And not only that, he's literally in fear of his very life, of being killed, murdered. You save me from violence, he wrote in this psalm. And he also said that God was his refuge. So in the midst of his emotional turmoil, God was his refuge. In the midst of his physical discomfort, God was his refuge. You know, we live in a season and a time or a generation where being completely self-absorbed about your own comfort level has become very prominent in our society. People feel that they have the right to always be comfortable, and if they aren't comfortable, then someone is somehow oppressing them. In David's case, somebody was genuinely oppressing him and causing him not only physical discomfort, but many different kinds of discomforts, you could say. But in our society, if someone is making your life a little uncomfortable, we feel oppressed or we feel somehow persecuted. The degree of difference between David's experience and most people's experience is quite severe. And yet, even in the depth of difficulty and crisis David was experiencing, he was able to say that the Lord was his refuge. He was the place where he ran to for comfort. He was the place where he ran to for just be able to be emotionally stabilized, though there was much pressure on his emotions in this point in his life. And this is something that God wants us as believers in the Word of God to be able to take hold of. We also live in a day when taking medication to try to calm your nerves or your anxieties has become all too common in Western society. And this is something to me that speaks to the fact that we have not taken seriously what the Word of God promises, that God is a place of refuge no matter how much pressure you're under, no matter how much sorrow you're experiencing. There is a reality to God being our refuge and our comfort and our shield and a place that's a stronghold, a place where we can feel safe from our enemies. Literally, David spoke that while he was still in the course of his life of being overwhelmed by the pressures of being chased. He says, I'm saved from my enemies. Waves of death encompass me. Torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. Literally, the cords of Sheol, the place of the dead, surrounded me. But God, I cried to God. He heard me. And he's expressing that he could find comfort and refuge and feel safe in the Lord even in the midst of crisis. Are you in a crisis right now? Are you under tremendous emotional pressure right now? God wants to be your savior in that sense, your deliverer in that area of your life. He wants to be the place you can go to for refuge, for comfort. Don't look to a bottle of pills. Don't look to things that are material in this world. Look to God, who is able to do for you more than any bottle of pills or any other type of crutch that the world may offer you. God wants to be the place where you can have peace in the midst of swirling craziness around you or pressure around you. And I have found that reading about Christians who have walked through difficult seasons in their life and have clung to God as David did, as their refuge, have given us modern day believers some way that we should follow, and a reality that has been tested and tried. And I refer specifically to a book called Tortured for Christ, written by a man, a pastor by the name of Richard Wurmbrand. And this is a man who lived through the communist oppression of Christians and persecution of churches and pastors and missionaries and ministers in the Soviet bloc countries during the 40s and 50s and 60s. And this man specifically lived in Romania. And when atheistic communism took hold of the nation of Romania, systematically churches were being persecuted and Christians were being imprisoned and tortured. And there were horrors inflicted that I wouldn't want to repeat because they were so obscene and disgusting. But I will give you a little bit of insight from Richard Wurmbrand's book called Tortured for Christ, because in it, he gives us insight into how the reality of holding on to the Lord and looking to God for your comfort and protection, and how, as David wrote so very beautifully in Psalm 57, that a person can take refuge in God. And specifically, David wrote, "My soul," which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, "my soul," my emotions, my mind, takes refuge in you. My emotions take refuge in you. "And in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by." Other translations have it as "until calamity passes by." "I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me." And Richard Wurmbrand, in his book Tortured for Christ, describes Christians suffering in communist prisons in Romania who suffered physical torture that was quite beyond description, but how they could get to a place in the Lord of just so trusting in him and hiding in the shadow of his wings until calamity passed them by. It didn't say calamity didn't happen. This scripture doesn't tell us no destruction touched David's life. We know that wouldn't be true. But David was able to say that in the midst of these calamities and crises and difficulties, he could hold on to God. He could hide under the shadow of the wings of God. His emotions could take refuge there. He didn't have to be destroyed by the destruction and calamity that was around him. And so it was with these Christians who were basically servants of God, serving and working in the underground church in communist Romania, and how when they were imprisoned by the communists, they would not stop speaking about God and about his love and about his salvation. And of course, that brought repercussions even inside the prison walls. I'm going to read a few sections from his book as illustration of this point, that God offers his word and his promises and the reality of who he is, his very character to us, so that in this world where there is tribulation, as Jesus said there would be, we still can find a refuge. And I'm going to read here from Tortured for Christ. "My second imprisonment was in many ways worse than the first. I knew well what to expect. My physical condition became very bad almost immediately, but we continued the work of the underground church where we could. right there in communist prison. It was strictly forbidden to preach to other prisoners. It was understood that whoever was caught doing this received a severe beating. A number of us decided to pay the price for the privilege of preaching, so we accepted their terms. It was a deal. We preached and they beat us. We were happy preaching, they were happy beating us, so everyone was happy. The following scene happened more times than I can remember. A brother was preaching to the other prisoners when the guards suddenly burst in, surprising him halfway through a phrase. They hauled him down the corridor to their beating room. After what seemed an endless beating, they brought him back and threw him, bloody and bruised, on the prison floor. Slowly, he picked up his battered body, painfully straightened his clothing, and said, "Now, brethren, where did I leave off when I was interrupted?" He continued his gospel message. One great lesson arose from all the beatings, tortures, and butchery of the communists, that the spirit is master of the body. We felt the torture, but it often seemed as something distant and far removed from the spirit, which was lost in the glory of Christ and his presence with us. This man is describing people who had found the secret of taking refuge under the shadow of the wings of God until destruction, calamity, and literally in their case, torture, had passed by. God wants to be your refuge. God wants to be the place where you can go spiritually, emotionally, mentally, to take refuge, find peace, to have a place of safety under the shadow of the wings of God, even if you're going through a very difficult, trying, maybe even tribulating season of your life. There is a reality in God that is greater than the material reality that we face day in and day out. As I said earlier, so many people in today's society reach for things to try to calm their minds, to calm their emotions, to calm their anxieties that are not permanent solutions. Anti-anxiety medication is no permanent solution. Alcohol, drugs, to numb the pain you might be feeling emotionally is no solution. But if you can take hold of the truth and the reality that God is a refuge for us in times of trouble and in times of pressure and in times of grief and in times of sorrow, you will find you will have an emotional equilibrium, a stability in your life and in your spirit and in your emotions, regardless of what is happening. That is how David was able, after having been literally tormented by Saul for years and in fear of his life day in and day out, he was still able to remain emotionally stable. When it was all over, he was at a place where he could step into a high place of leadership in the nation of Israel. Had that emotional turmoil and torment that he had gone through gotten to the point where it so deeply affected him that he had fear and anxiety with him constantly, he would have never been able to be the leader that we read about now. God wants you to be able to find him and his goodness and his character and his strength to be your strength, your refuge for your life. It's what God has given to us. It's a privilege of God. David said in Psalm 57, verse 7, "My heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast." How could he say that his heart, his emotions were steadfast? They were even, they were calm, they were stabilized, even in the midst of all that he went through, because he had found that God could be his refuge. God wants you to seek him in this way so that he can give you that stability of heart and mind and emotion that we all desperately need, so that no matter what we walk through, we can find that place of his peace. It's available to you as it was available to David, as it was available to those Christians from the underground church in Romania who suffered through those tortures and yet maintained a place of peace in their hearts. That is a miracle that we can have every single day. Put your trust in the Lord and in the promise of His Word, which you've heard this day, and God will be your refuge as He was for David. God bless you and give you a victorious week. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page for My Everyday Bible. And also, I invite you to check out our ministry website, hiddenwithchrist.com, and the website for our orphanage in East Africa, which I'm visiting right now here in Tanzania, called Treasures of Africa Children's Home. And our website for the orphanage is treasuresofafrica.org. I invite you to just visit our websites and post something to our Facebook page, and we'll be excited to hear from you. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.